Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9, the game, a beautiful Wednesday morning right here in the city of Atlanta. Drew Butler joined alongside Abe Gordon as July is coming towards an end. NFL training camps are starting. College football media days are going on, and the Atlanta Braves continue their uninspiring 2025 campaign. How are you, Abe? Great to be with you, my man.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, man. I was at the Braves game yesterday. First game I'd been to this season, actually. A couple of things jumped out.
How was morale, first off?
Well, still a great crowd. Okay. Like, the Braves fans are showing up. There's no doubt about that. And a lot of that has to do with the Braves and the organization is built.
Of course, and the battery.
In attending. Because you can talk about any major league team. I've said that every city is the same in terms of, like, sports fandom. Like, every city is a bandwagon city. Every stadium is going to fill out when
teams are
running hot.
Absolutely.
You can really find out what a fan base is about when a team is way off, which is what the Braves are. And it was packed yesterday.
Okay, I mean, if that stadium were at the old Turner Field, would it be just
a different story?
Okay.
But that's part of the compliments to the organization.
Absolutely.
And what they built. I also want to say this. I'm fine at home, man. Like, just sitting out there and just sweat. Just, you could feel it.
Pretty hot last
pouring
night.
Down the back.
Did it rain at all?
No. And I don't know. This is going to sound weird. I have a sensitive body. And so, hear me out. Let me finish.
Quote, I have a sensitive body at 9:05 on a Wednesday morning.
I can feel like where certain beads of sweat are dropping. If it's on my back, if it's on my side, you know. And it just.
Bo, we need to cut that. Quote, I have a sensitive body. Abe Gordon. You can feel beads of sweat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like individual beads starting to fall down. And I'm just sitting in the chair and you can feel it.
Okay.
I went courtesy of my uncle.
The seats look nice.
So I was in the Delta. We were in the Delta Club. We were in section 124, right behind home plate. We're not quite where Bo is in the Truist Club, but we're not far off. And they're doing some crazy stuff in the Delta Club. Obviously you get the food and stuff in the
Delta
air conditioning.
Club is sick.
So, but they've got these guys who come out with the water and hot dogs and pretzels and all this stuff, and they're just chucking them all over the place.
Really?
They don't deliver them.
I have not seen this.
Let me give a shout out to my guy, Donovan. This guy might be the GOAT of tossing concessions.
So
I mean,
wait
the
a
absolute
minute. If I'm
GOAT.
In the Delta Club and I'm sitting down and I grab my beer, they're just walking in and I can just raise my hand and they'll chuck me a hot dog?
Yeah. You know, it'll be wrapped.
Of course.
It'll be wrapped. So but, like, he'll throw beers. He's throwing bottles of water.
These guys in the Delta Club, they have, like, two full rows to service. So instead of going to each individual customer, they figured out that it's a lot more fun at a baseball game just to kind of toss peanuts.
But, dude, this guy hit, like, 35 of 36.
They're pretty good at them.
I mean, Donovan was out there. And it's one thing to be accurate with your throw. It's another thing. We'll talk about this when we get to Michael Penix.
Right.
It's a different thing to make it catchable, right?
Yeah.
If you're throwing a bottle of water or a beer and it's rotating
it's
and
tough.
It's this guy is flicking bottles.
He's got the technique down pat.
Dude,
I like that.
Like a knuckleball. There's no spin on the bottle of water. There's no spin.
That's great.
And this guy is making it as catchable as possible.
At least somebody's making the ballpark experience entertaining.
And by the way, shout out to the fans. Like, they're pretty good hands from Braves fans.
Well, when you have, you know, very precious cargo midair, like a cold beer or a hot dog, you want to make sure that you bring that thing in. So good on them.
It was
and good on Donovan.
Honestly, like we're down 5-0 at this point, and I just started watching him toss things around. That's way better than watching the Braves leave more guys on base.
So when you're at the Braves game last night and they're getting blanked and leaving runners in scoring position, are you thinking to yourself, Falcons report to training camp? Are you thinking about football? Are you thinking about college football?
Do you really want to know what I was thinking?
I would love to. You and your sensitive body.
Well, we're headed right there again. I hate to tell you. Most of the game, I was thinking, it's miserable out here, and this is why I sit in the air conditioning and watch at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or in the press box if you were covering the game.
They wouldn't dare give me a press pass.
Tough times for the Atlanta Braves. Obviously, last night, they lose to the San Francisco Giants 9-0, and it was not pretty. They leave 10. They're 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They left 12 men on base, Abe.
They kept getting guys on first and second with two outs, and we just sitting there like, wow, the guy know how this one's going to end. By the way, it kept being Ozzie Albies, too.
Frustrating.
It just kept being Ozzie Albies with two outs and guys on. We're like, all right, well, okay.
That could be enough Braves talk for the day. I don't know if we're going to cover it much more. It's so uninspiring. There is a day game today, 12:15, right down at Truist Park. A great pitching matchup as well. Justin Verlander against Spencer Strider. We'll see if the Braves can win this one and win the series before they hit the road. But let's get to the other news in the sports world. Let's do a little 9 at 9. Yeah, Bo just reminding me that Verlander is 0-8 this year. It's a hot name. This would have been a great pitching matchup a couple of years ago. But to recap, Braves lose last night 9-0 to the Giants. Acuna did have another outfield assist. They leave 12 men on base, 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position. More importantly, they wrap up the series today against San Francisco. 12:15 first pitch, Verlander versus Strider. What are you looking out for, Abe?
I don't know, man. Like, we had, what, 7 runs the other night?
Yeah.
I was pretty confident they were going to do exactly what they did last night. And, I mean, you don't follow up 7 with another 7. That already happened once.
You would have hoped they put something on the scoreboard.
Nah, yeah. We'll try it again today. I'm looking for Spencer Strider to find a way to be more economical with his pitches. He's got to get past the 6th inning.
Yeah.
He's been dominant, but he's only dominant for 6. I don't trust the bullpen. If it's a tight game, he's got to be there in the 7th.
All right, we'll see how he does today. Again, 12:15 first pitch. Trade deadline is coming up. I believe it's July 31st. Is that right,
yep.
Abe? Thank you very much. The Braves yesterday acquired cash considerations for Stuart Fairchild, who'd been DFA'd to make room for Sandy Leone.
Sure. I mean, at this point, the guys you're moving out, anything you can get for them is fine.
Absolutely. The Atlanta Dream of the WNBA, they lose 87-72 to the Las Vegas Aces. Alicia Gray had 24 points. Ryan Howard out with a knee issue.
Yeah, tough little start to the second half of the season after the All-Star break for the WNBA. They're back at it tonight at Phoenix, another late-night game. Ryan Howard didn't play last night. I would imagine not going tonight, so tough ask.
All right, let's get to some exciting news. Atlanta Falcons players arrived today as training camp is set to start tomorrow. And guess what? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game will be there on location. Remember, a year ago, a lot of construction up at Flowery Branch. Training camp practices were closed. Not the case this year. Back in action. Fans will be there. So will we. Abe, I am fired up for football. Training camp for the Falcons starts tomorrow.
I'm fascinated, and I'll find out immediately at the line. Like, I'm going to get there, obviously, before practice starts. I can't wait to see the line of fans.
Okay.
Like, that, to me, will tell me a lot about the city.
Well, you would have to think that it will be a great reception by the fans. They weren't allowed to be there last year. I think it'll be a great turnout.
Well, they've sold out the first 3 in terms of Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's going to be packed. There's no doubt about that. I don't know what you're allowed to bring into the, but like if you bring water, man, it's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot.
Hydrate.
Bring water, wear sun protection, maybe an umbrella if that's allowed, if you have a sensitive body. Like my man, Abe Gordon. ACC Media Days are going on in Charlotte. Georgia Tech is up today, along with Florida State, Louisville, Pitt, Syracuse, and Wake Forest. We got some great cuts from ACC Media Days coming up in the tailgate.
Is Coach Jim Mark Phillips Rick? Still talking? Is Jim? Did you see it? Did you see that yesterday?
Commissioner
spoke
Jim
for
Phillips
over an hour.
Boy, these commissioners,
bro,
they love
it. Bro, it's the
ACC. They?
Calm down.
Big Ten Media Days are also going on out in Las Vegas today. Up Minnesota, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Oregon, Washington, and a team that a lot of people are super high on, Penn State, up today in Vegas.
You ready for them to win a big game?
I've been ready, and it has not happened.
Yeah. Still waiting?
MLS All-Star game tonight in Austin, Texas. They'll be taking on Liga Mexico All-Stars. No Atlanta United players participating.
Yeah, and it'd be tough to argue that anyone really deserves it. If anyone, probably Goose. He's had an outstanding season.
Sure.
But no.
You tuning into that tonight, though, MLS All-Star game?
Honestly, the Braves play a day game.
Yeah.
So maybe. I'll be at trivia, but maybe.
There you go. Wednesday night trivia. You'll find Abe. And then a couple of other news and notes around training camp starting and players reporting. Micah Parsons and Kyren Williams both did show up to camp, while Terry McLaurin and Trey Hendrickson have not because they are in contract.
Are those two organizations in a battle to see how ugly it can get? Because it's
Shamar Stewart storyline is even more interesting, but Trey Hendrickson, probably your best player on the defensive side of the ball for the Cincinnati Bengals, you might want to get that one figured out.
Burrow's got to be, furious. Not at his teammates, but at the organization for not figuring this out. Because they're in this window, and they lost a year of their window last year because the defense was atrocious.
Well, what did they start out? 0-4? 1-4?
I feel like it was worse than that.
Yeah. If the Bengals can just start relatively
He's ready
decent,
to win a Super Bowl, guys. Like, Joe Burrow's ready to win a Super Bowl. They figured out the offensive financials with Higgins and Chase. Like, dude, they can't be cost by their defense again. Burrow's going to be furious. So they got to figure this out. And then whatever's going on in D.C., like, just pay Terry McLaurin, man.
Pay
like,
Terry McLaurin. You got Jaden Daniels in the fold. That's an NFC team that the Atlanta Falcons will be seeing inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium week 4. Have you seen what the first 6 games look like for the Atlanta Falcons in 2025? As the players report to training camp today, Abe Gordon and I next are going to tell you what we need to see through the first 6 games of the Atlanta Falcons 2025 season to know what we are in for the rest of the year. That's coming up next. Drew Butler, Abe Gordon, right here on the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is the Steakhouse. Drew Butler and Abe Gordon. The Steakhouse brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. Check us out on X at Drew Butler, at Abe Gordon, at 92.9 The Game. Hope you are listening on the app if you are on the go as well. I've been keeping the app up and at them, and you better because Falcons training camp starts tomorrow. And we will be there. Exciting times in the world of sports. It's been pretty slim pickings here the last 10 days or so, Abe, as you're in the dog days of summer. And it doesn't really get much better throughout August unless you are an NFL fan who's a sicko. You watch NFL Network. You follow all the reports across the league at training camps. Of course, college football training camps, they start in the first week of August as well. So that, to me, is when the calendar really stretches out where you're like just yearning for something to be on TV that's not just another run-of-the-mill baseball game.
Yeah, I mean, we got lucky here in Atlanta for a variety of reasons. I think the All-Star game being here helped bridge a couple of things,
Big
right?
Time.
There's 4 or 5 days where it's all about Atlanta. I think SEC Media Days coming through the city helped bridge things for another half of a week, and now we're pretty much there. I mean, you were looking at the schedule. We're like 8 days away from the Hall of Fame game.
I know.
Like,
it's July 31st is the Hall of Fame game.
How about that?
I just feel like from an optics perspective, if it was August 1st, I'd be like, oh, okay. But since it's July 31st, to me, I'm like, wow, it is going to be here very, very soon. And then when we saw that, We were talking about Michael Penix Jr. We were talking about the Falcons' pass rush. We were discussing the draft class. And then you and I said, hey, you know what? Let's take a look at the Falcons' first six games of the schedule. And I asked you a question because when I was driving in this morning, I was hearing about Jordan Love, the Packers quarterback. Jordan Love had an 8-game sample size for the Green Bay Packers, and they turned around that offseason and they gave him a boatload of money. They said, this is our guy. We've got to lock him up. He's our franchise quarterback. We've seen enough. He's it. And I was thinking to myself, is there any comparison as to what the Green Bay Packers did with Jordan Love? Granted, it was 8 games. To what Atlanta Falcons fans are hoping for with Michael Penix Jr., who played 3 games a year ago, and you made a very quick point to tell me what's the big difference.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Love sat enough years to where his contract was running out. You're correct. Still right at the start or towards the middle of a rookie deal for Michael Penix.
Now, I do want to preface this, but this is not me saying we should go ahead and give Michael Penix all this money because you can't. He's going into his second season.
Right.
But I was saying, you know, more of the declaration that this is our guy.
If you don't know by the end of this year, it's a problem.
And what about by the end of the first 6 games? Because then he'd have a 9-game sample size as opposed to Jordan Love's 8-game sample size with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I still give it a longer leash. I mean, I almost correlate it more, and not from the sample size projection, but from, are we sure this is the guy? He's looked good at times, bad at times. It almost feels like you'd like to avoid that, which is the Bryce Young thing.
Yeah.
Where
some days he's an A, other days he's
better,
a B, then he's a
B. You're telling yourself you can win with this guy,
yeah.
But does anyone in Carolina really, like, really getting in there to commit to Bryce Young as their franchise guy?
Just based on me watching football and watching Bryce Young versus Michael Penix Jr. Keep in mind, Bryce Young, the number one overall draft
right.
pick. Michael Penix Jr. has a better arm. Michael Penix Jr. has better size. Michael Penix Jr. has a better, I would say, resume when it comes to delivering the football downfield than Bryce
Young. Right now, there are a lot fewer questions about Michael Penix Jr. than there are about Bryce Young.
As it relates to being an NFL quarterback.
Correct.
Yes.
And we've seen Bryce Young for multiple seasons now, and I still don't know. Like, I was leaning towards, like, no, move on, and then they kind of were like, all right, maybe. Like, that's what they're still in a all right, maybe phase for is this guy our franchise quarterback. Whether it's after 6 games of the Falcons this coming season, whether it's after the entire season, which would be a 20-game sample size, assuming he stays healthy and plays all 17 games, the end of the year or at the end of these 6 games, I don't want to be in the are we sure, I don't know, where are we, question mark, that the Panthers are in with Bryce Young. We need
correct.
To know that this guy is, and hey, if it goes the other way and this guy isn't, that's fine, too. Now, I mean, it's going to be rough, but we need to know one way or the other. You can't have the question mark that the Panthers have.
In the Falcons' first 6 games, they are playing 3 playoff teams from a year ago, 2 of which were in the conference championship games. They open up at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a huge division game. Yes, Todd Bowles is going to bring the heat. Michael Penix Jr. and that entire offense should understand what's to be expected. You turn around in week 2, you go up to Minnesota, Sunday night football. That is a raucous environment. It is a primetime game. That will not be tough. A lot of people are looking at the Minnesota Vikings as potentially on par with the Packers to win the NFC North. You go again on the road in week 3 at Carolina. Hopefully that's a win. You turn around, you come home to take on the Washington Commanders. Again, one of the teams who was in their conference championship game a year ago. You have an early bye, Abe, in week 5. Week 6, the Bills at home. Monday Night Football, another team that was in their conference championship game. And then week 7, which is your 6th game, you got to go all the way out west, taking on the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday Night Football. That is 3 primetime games. in the first 6 weeks against three opponents, not all primetime games, who were in their conference, in the playoffs a year ago.
You say three, but it's really five. Like, these are five playoff teams, and then the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
Like the Bucs are a playoff team. The Vikings believe they can be a playoff team. And obviously, they have the wild card of the quarterback. I get that.
I'll take the Steak Shapiro approach here and say, we don't know Jack. We can only say what we knew happened a year ago. We are not sure what's going to happen in 2025. We'll see how the schedule plays out.
Everybody has
the record that they deserve.
I'm looking at five of these six teams, and their fan bases would be disappointed if they don't make the playoffs.
Yes.
I think the Panthers, they might be a little disappointed, but I think they'd be understanding of where they are still. Five of these teams should be in the playoffs. I feel like they should be in the playoffs. I don't know if they will. They feel like they should be in the playoffs.
Agree.
That's a rough go.
So what are the expectations? What do you need to see from Michael Penix Jr. in these first six games?
You want to see.
Because you hope that the Falcons can at least get out 3-3.
If you're 3-3.
Kind of similar as to what they had a year ago.
When you're like 2-2 out of the first four.
Absolutely.
If you're 3-3, I think you feel real good about it. You'd feel doubly good if one of those three wins obviously comes against the Bucs in the opener because of the conference stuff there.
Not that it mattered a year ago because you beat the Bucs twice, but
you don't expect to, torture yourself midway through the season. From the Michael Penix perspective, there's a couple things I want to see. Obviously, I want to see grasp of the offense and things like that. And the one thing I told you before the show is the one thing I cannot have is you point at Michael Penix and say, that guy cost us a game.
He just lost the game.
You can't have a performance, and Cousins had a couple of them there. We talked about it jokingly.
Two interceptions and a fumble.
The Desmond Ridder interception against the Panthers when you're throwing into triple coverage in the red zone when the game is right there. Like, you can't have a mistake that big that costs you a game. He can make mistakes.
Of course.
He can have turnovers. It's unrealistic to say this guy's going to go six games into his first full season as starting quarterback against five potential playoff teams.
Yep.
Four of which have potentially very good defenses in Tampa, Minnesota, the Bills, and the 49ers. And say, this guy can't have turnovers. That's not realistic.
Right.
But I can't look at him and say, that game was there to be won, and that guy cost it.
Are you only looking at Michael Penix Jr., or are you looking across the other side of the ball and saying, man, this pass rush needs to produce in the first
game? You can't be dead last in the NFL
you
again.
You simply cannot.
You spent two first-round picks, including
on the pass rush.
Technically next year's pick to come back and get Pierce. I don't think they need to be fully ramped up. Right, they don't need to be the end product of what they are. Two of these guys are still rookies and are going to learn and develop and get better and improve. They'll adjust and figure out what works in the NFL and maybe what doesn't. So I don't think they have to be their best selves through 6 weeks. They can't be their worst selves either.
Over under through the first six games, the amount of sacks that the Atlanta Falcons have.
Nine and a half.
I was gonna say 9.5.
Okay, but we're close.
Yeah.
We're close.
9.5 total sacks for the Atlanta Falcons through the first six games of this 2025.
If I want to do the bit where I'm looking at quarterbacks, Josh Allen incredibly difficult to sack because he moves. Jaden Daniels incredibly difficult to sack because he moves. I think Baker Mayfield is sneakily difficult to sack.
Yeah, he's elusive.
He doesn't run as much as extend plays, but he'll throw it away.
I would say he's elusive more than mobile, but he can definitely move the chains.
I think Brock Purdy you can get. I think Bryce Young you can get.
Yeah.
J.J. McCarthy's a total
wild
card.
So let's set it at nine. Nine total sacks for the Atlanta Falcons. Over or under
yeah,
in
you
the
gotta
first
be over, man.
Six games
through six
of
games
the schedule.
You got to remember, like, the magic number for a sack total across the season, I know this is kind of going back to 16 games versus 17 games, it's 40.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the magic number is 40. Six games is a third of the season, just beyond. You can't be not at 10.
I agree.
Doing simple math here, right?
I agree with
you. Just simple math.
Yeah.
You can't be, again, you don't have to be leading the league. You don't have to have 23 through six games, but you got to be at above 10.
Here's what I want to see, okay, through the first six games of the season. Yes, 3-3 record would be awesome. 4-2 would be phenomenal.
Yeah, bro.
But this is what I want
to
see.
You're 4-2. People.
This is what I want to see. A year ago, Monday Night Football against the Eagles, the Falcons should have lost that game. They ended up winning it. And then they took on the Kansas City Chiefs inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They had so many chances to win that game. And they did not. Here's
still
what
PI.
I want to see.
It's still PI.
I want to see the Falcons overcome adversity and win one of these primetime games when they should, and it feels like it might be slipping away, right? You want to see a team respond accordingly and say, you know what? This is our game to win. We're not going to let it slip away. Yes, we haven't played our best, but we can win this football game and put a number in the win column. That is what makes the difference later on in the season when you're trying to get into the playoffs. The Falcons need to win the games that they should win against good opponents, maybe in prime time. So that's what I'm looking for. One of those moments in the first six games to where you're like, you know what? The Falcons did what they needed to do, and they took that game, and that will matter later on in the season.
Yeah, and I think the best opportunity for that is that Minnesota game. You're going back up there where it's some real problems last year.
Oh my God.
Especially in the secondary. So you're able to see some growth potentially there based on, again, the wild card of J.J. McCarthy. I just don't know.
Totally agree. That'll be a very good test in week two. Falcons Sunday night football in Minnesota. What else is a good test? Well, the Big Ten thinks that they test themselves far better than the SEC does. They are just spouting off at the mouth out in Las Vegas at Big Ten Media Days. My question to you in your car or listening on the app is this. If somebody said, hey, man, do you want to make your job tougher? Would you like your job to be harder? Would you do that voluntarily? You tell me. I'm going to ask Abe Gordon next after the break. Drew Butler, Abe Gordon. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Steakhouse. Drew Butler and Abe Gordon with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope you are enjoying a great week here in the city of Atlanta and getting excited, just as excited as we are, about Falcons training camp starting tomorrow. 92.9 will be there in Flowery Branch. What did you think of Abe and I talking about what we need to see from the Atlanta Falcons throughout the first six games of the 2025 season? Call in and let us know, 404-726-0929. Would love from you all. What do you need to see? I told you I need to see the Falcons win a game that maybe they shouldn't win. Take a game where it feels like it's slipping away a little bit, but they add one into the win column. That's what I need to see, because that's what's going to make the biggest difference late in the season to make the playoffs, which is what the Falcons must do in 2025. Let us know what you need to see, 404-726-0929. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Abe and I are going to hit the tailgate. We got some great audio coming out of ACC Media Days yesterday. Former Georgia quarterback Carson Beck was chatting with former Georgia head coach Mark Richt. Some good stuff there, so stay tuned.
I'm just watching ACC Media Days. I find it fascinating.
Jim Phillips, PhD?
Dude.
These commissioners, man, they love themselves.
You're the AC, dude. You're the ACC.
They love themselves.
You got to. No one wants to hear you for an hour.
Nobody.
No.
I'm talking nobody.
An hour?
Nobody.
Like nonstop. We at least have breaks in our fastest 2 hours.
Holy cow. I agree with you.
He just ran right through it. By the way, this hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. I will say this. I'm getting pretty amped up by Media Days. Like, I know we're talking about training camp.
It's talking
season. It's football season. Like, it's here. Like, SEC Media Days was the start of football season. None of this nonsense that doesn't matter. Everything we're talking about now matters.
Yeah.
Well, some of the stuff we're talking about matters. Some of the stuff doesn't.
What's getting you most fired up about Media Days? ACC and Big Ten like going on right now. Obviously, SEC was last week.
Just coaches talking about their players. Like this year, Kirby giving out the passionate and the fire, whatever his three
fire,
words are.
Fire, passion, energy.
That, yeah.
Relationships over transactions.
Sure.
But that's what he always does. Kirby Smart always defines the narrative and really controls the narrative, because not only is he talking to the media, he's talking his locker room.
Right.
He's talking his staff. He's setting the expectations for the fan base. I think Kirby Smart's done a great job of that throughout his tenure at Georgia in respect to Media Day and setting the standard before training camp even starts.
I just like the fact that we're talking about the teams this year and what's going on.
Well, I think it's fascinating in the SEC specifically how many unknowns are at the quarterback position for big-time programs like a Georgia. I'll throw Texas in there. We're not sure about Arch Manning.
Okay.
Alabama, of course, Ty Simpson. You know, the one team, Ole Miss, they got some
uncertainty Simmons
at quarterback as well. The one team that does have a lot of certainty at quarterback are the LSU Tigers. Watch out. Garrett Nussmeier's the real deal. They got studs at defense.
I picked him as my preseason SEC first team quarterback.
Some other teams that are getting a lot of love post-media days. Oklahoma is a team that people say will be sneaky.
It's my guys. I've been on them before.
John Mateer transfers in from
I was on them before Jaden Ott came over.
A year ago, Jaden Ott, the running back, transfers in from
Cal
Berkeley.
By the way, like Cal could be looking at a couple of players this year and be like, that was us. Like a year ago, that was us.
Yeah.
Jaden Ott at Oklahoma.
Cal was one of the more fun storylines in college football.
Jaden Ott at Oklahoma could be all SEC running back. Fernando Mendoza transferred to Indiana.
I know.
He was Cal's quarterback. They love him. They think he's got a better arm than Curtis Rourke did last year. He could be, he's not going to be first team, I imagine, all Big Ten, but like he could be a guy that leads a squad. Like Cal's going to be looking at him like, could have been us.
Well, look, I'll tell you one thing. The transfer quarterback who's going to have the most eyes on him, I think, in the nation, is one that we're talking about right now as we kick off the tailgate. Now, who is that transfer quarterback I'm talking about who I believe is going to have the most eyes on him throughout the entire country? I'm not just saying this because we live here in Atlanta and this guy used to be, quote-unquote, a local quarterback. It's Carson Beck, the Georgia transfer, former Georgia Bulldog, who transferred down to the University of Miami. There have been various reports about the NIL bag that was gifted to him in order to transfer down there, potentially $6 million. But Carson Beck was at Media Days yesterday along with head coach Mario Cristobal of the Miami Hurricanes, and he is saying he made the right decision.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, obviously, was the offensive fit. As a quarterback, the OC, the scheme, the talent and guys that you're going to have around you is huge to the success and ultimately the future, of a quarterback, but of me, right? And this is my future, and I think that this decision is one of the better decisions I've made.
One of the better decisions I've made. And look, I'm not an idiot. They ask him the question, what are your thoughts about the decision you made? I'm not going to kid myself and think that he's going to be like, well, you know, Abe, I kind of regret it at this point. I wish I was still in Athens. Of course he's going to say what he said. However, how do you think that's going to continue his quote-unquote legacy with Georgia Bulldog fans who may or may not be rooting against him actively in 2025?
I think Georgia fans have closed the door on his legacy.
They slammed it shut.
Does it get reopened if...
Does he have a legacy?
I think people try and pull Justin Fields into having a Georgia legacy.
What is Carson Beck's legacy at the University of Georgia? Could be a great question.
24-7-2-6-0-9-2-9.
Yes, 24-3, as we discussed in the pre-show. Two losses to Alabama, one loss to Ole Miss. Carson Beck, two seasons, 24-3.
The thing for me is what happens if he shows stuff. Because if he goes to Miami and looks the way he looked last year with Georgia, no one's going to be like, yeah.
Even if
what?
He's getting paid $50 million.
The money's irrelevant. Okay. This is going to be about performance. If he goes to Miami, though, and turns into what they thought he was going to be last year, Heisman candidate.
Yeah.
Top five pick potential,
right.
All of that. And then it even doubles down if you're not getting what you need out of Gunnar Stockton. There's going to be a lot of second guessing, right?
Oh, yeah.
But if he goes to Miami and just kind of looks the way he did at Georgia.
Maybe like, have a rough patch in the middle of the season, turnover troubles.
He's going to put the ball into risk. Maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. Probably not going to, you know. Because they needed some real heroics, Miami did last year at quarterback, to win some of these games.
Absolutely. And keep in mind, that elbow injury that he had is pretty serious, too. So hopefully his recovery is going well. Carson Beck, not the only person who's gone from Georgia to Miami. If you remember correctly, when Coach Mark Richt was let go as head coach of the University of Georgia, he went down to his alma mater to take over as the head coach of Canes football. Coach Richt was on the ACC Network set yesterday with Carson Beck, and he kind of compared the journeys of both of them to one another.
You were at Georgia, went to Miami. I was at Georgia, went to Miami. But the only difference is you got paid more than I did.
I don't know about that.
No, if you go year by year, I think you got me by about a million.
What a world we live in, Abe. Hats off to Coach Rick for just putting that out there as well. Hey, look, you got more than I did to go from Georgia to Miami. It is crazy times in college football, no question about
it. Yeah, look, the one thing I'm not going to get here and argue for is like that these numbers are accurate. I don't think he's getting $6 million this year.
I would agree with that.
So the numbers are going to be wonky. I think we understand that. But I think whatever it is still a significant part of the decision. I think that's what it also comes down to.
Absolutely.
I think the one thing you can say in regards to the money is not the full decision. Because in Miami, you're going to a place where they just sent a quarterback to the top of the first round. And you are now, you're the guy. You're not going to compete somewhere.
Right.
So I get why from that perspective, but it's all about the Benjamins.
I mean, my understanding, my understanding is that Georgia had an offer out to Carson Beck. This is what we are willing to pay you. And he went out and his team went out and got a humongous offer from Miami. They brought it back to Georgia. Can you match it? Georgia said, nope. Go do your thing. Thank you very much. It's been a good 2 years. We appreciate your service to the program. And I don't blame either side if that's the case.
And again, to me, it comes down to how does Gunnar look and how does Carson look? Because I think you always revisit that decision if it looks like you could have been better off just paying the extra mil and a half or whatever the number was.
Are you completely convinced that it will be Gunnar Stockton for the Georgia Bulldogs?
Yes. Yeah, I am. Yeah. Are you not?
I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens with Ryan Puglisi during training camp. I just am. I don't know why I say that.
I just don't think, barring injury, anything can happen.
Wow.
I think it's Gunner's job.
All right. Well, it's the Big Ten's job to continue to advocate for themselves in the national viewpoint of college football. They are just running their mouths out in Las Vegas, Abe, talking about scheduling this, scheduling that, 9-game conference schedule versus 8-game conference schedule, and here's why we're better than the SEC. To me, I think the entire talking point is totally overblown, but Kurt Cignetti, Indiana's head coach, Indiana, who just took a Power 4 opponent off their schedule this upcoming year and replaced them with an FCS opponent, Kurt Cignetti came out and said very blatantly, oh, we're just taking an SEC approach to our scheduling this year. My question to you is this, and I would have to assume every single SEC football coach is sitting there telling Greg Sankey, we do not want to go to 9-game conference schedule. That will only make our jobs harder. We have no guarantees from the College Football Playoff Committee as to how they're going to judge strength of schedule, quality losses, X, Y, and Z. Why would the SEC rush to make a 9-game conference schedule when they simply don't have to.
Well, I don't think they are rushing. I think they've made it very clear they're not going to move to 9 games.
And I don't blame them.
Until they see a couple of things, including what the strength of schedule metric actually means in this year's committee meetings and the discussion that comes from it. They're not going to jump before they find out what exactly the at-large... They're not. They've already said that they're not. They want to take a look at what strength of schedule means this year, and then we'll decide. The other thing for me is everything that Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, said screams, and I mean screams, I don't believe that our conference is good enough for 4 at-large bids.
Well, you made a great point in the pre-show, and you said, hey, there's going to be some years, undoubtedly, where the ACC will be better than the Big Ten.
Well, let's look right now at the ACC, just this year. And I imagine just, again, let's go revisit this Carson Beck conversation. Let's say he is this guy. Miami and Clemson are going to be playoff teams. SMU was there last year.
Yeah.
SMU was there.
You think Miami's a playoff team?
If Carson Beck turns in to be a very good player, yeah, I think they're right there. I think they're right there. Now, I think they're in the back half of right there. I think Clemson's at the top half of right there.
Clemson getting some love right now as well.
I got Kate Klubnik winning the Heisman this year.
Well, I saw a report the other day that a bettor in Scottsdale, Arizona, placed like a $150,000 bet on the Clemson Tigers to win the national championship.
Yeah.
13-1.
I think that's fair. But, I mean, just take Clemson and Miami, and then we don't know what. SMU was
a wild card,
SMU was there last year.
Yep.
And now Rhett Lashley's talking. You don't talk unless you feel good about, because you don't talk heading into a 5-7 season.
So what did he say? Head coach at SMU, Rhett Lashley, said, quote, "The same 6 schools have won the SEC since 1964. Not a single one different from 1964. That's top heavy, not depth." I mean, these guys are just taking shots left and right.
It's a lot of picking and choosing what arguments they're making. Like, when you go back to the Kurt Cignetti comment about, like, we're just scheduling like an SEC team does. Non-conference, I get that. But they have to play such a brutal in-conference schedule that that Indiana didn't play last year. That's why they went to the playoff
Absolutely.
Last year.
Absolutely. Indiana's schedule last year, they played 6 of the bottom 7 teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah, we looked at their schedule this year. I think 10-2 is realistic.
Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, Indiana State are their first 3
games. That's 3-0.
Illinois, 4-0, Iowa,
5-0,
Oregon.
5-1.
Michigan State, UCLA.
6-1, 7-1.
Okay, that's enough Indiana football talk.
But they're getting it. I mean, there's a shot that they get to 10-2 again.
No, of course.
And are right there.
You're absolutely right.
And on the flip side, we look at Auburn's schedule and we say, hey, this might be one of the easiest schedules in the SEC. Only problem, still got Georgia, still got Alabama, still playing Oklahoma, not to mention Texas A&M. There's no easy rides, even if you can find Missouri and Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
I keep being told that the Big Ten is dominating college football because they've won the last 2 national championships, yet everybody continues to talk about the SEC. It is windy on the mountaintop indeed. Hey, when we come back from break, Abe Gordon wants to talk about championship windows in the NFL. Which windows are open? Which windows are closing? Which windows are closed? And more importantly, what window situation are the Atlanta Falcons in? That's coming up after the break. It's Drew Butler and Abe Gordon right here on the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Ten a.m., 10:03 on this Wednesday morning. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler and Abe Gordon taking you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. 2 hours. And, of course, thank you, Bo. R.I.P. to Ozzy Osbourne. Passed away yesterday at the age of 78, I believe. A legend. And as I was driving in, I heard Crazy Train, and that reminds me of one thing. And I'm assuming it's the same thing you probably think of when you hear Crazy Train.
Is that not the – yeah, that's who everybody thinks of when they hear Crazy Train.
Right?
It has to be.
Chipper
Especially
Jones.
If you're anywhere in the Southeast or a baseball fan at all, yeah.
Chipper Jones.
100%.
Ozzy Osbourne, Crazy Train, walk-up song. That's what I think. I wonder if that's what everybody else thinks as well. What about you, Abe?
Yeah, I mean, Chipper's my favorite Braves player of all time. So
I saw an Instagram post last night. It was like 10 top 10 Chipper Jones moments, and that dude was just phenomenal. Great at the plate, awesome defensively, extremely consistent, Chipper Jones, all-time Atlanta Brave great.
In my mind. I assume in most people's minds.
I would
but
hope
in my
so.
Mind.
Hall of Famer. No question.
There's literally stats
it.
To back that up, so yes. I don't think that anybody can dispute it, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, I guess I was thinking, like, from the Mount Rushmore, if you only get four.
Okay,
type
who
of
would
thing.
That be? That's a great question.
Well,
Mount
it's just,
Rushmore of Atlanta Braves.
Where do you get into, like, the pitchers?
Yeah.
Where do you get into old Braves, Dale Murphy? Like, it just kind of.
Hank Aaron, obviously, is on the Mount
Yeah,
Rushmore.
But if Hank and, like, I don't know, do you. One pitcher? Do you do multiple pitchers? Let's say Hank and Maddox are already on there.
But see, I would honestly, and I love Greg Maddox, I would honestly make a very valid point to say John Smoltz.
So Smoltz was my favorite of the three.
Starter and closer.
Sure. So, but either way, say it's Hank and.
Straight Cy Youngs, though.
Let's say it's Hank and Smoltz. All right. Dale. So now you only got one spot left. You're dealing with Chipper. You're dealing with Andrew. You're dealing with Acuna.
No. Chipper is automatic.
100%. I think Chipper
again,
and Hank Aaron are on there
I don't,
for sure.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying other people would make different arguments.
I think the fourth spot may be – so if it's Mad Dog and Hank and Chipper, the fourth spot probably is a battle between Andrew Smoltz, who is a Hall of Famer, and then maybe Dale.
And then the other question, people can't get over it, is Freddie in this discussion?
No.
Well,
not an all-time
You
break.
Say no. I think other people will feel differently.
Freddie Freeman is not on the Mount Rushmore of Atlanta.
Maybe top 10.
Top 10?
Yeah.
You can make that argument. 12 years as a Brave. He's not on the Mount Rushmore.
I'm not making the argument.
Well,
he is,
Drew. You just said it.
Other people might feel that way.
It is Mount Rushmore season. It absolutely is. Mount Rushmore season as soon as the NBA
is it too
and
early
Stanley
to put
Cup Finals end and until the NFL and college football season starts.
Yeah, I mean,
starts,
is it too early to put Acuna on?
That is Mount Rushmore. Yes, it's too early to put Ronald Acuna on the Mount Rushmore. This is the Atlanta Braves we're talking about. Storied history.
He is trajecting that way, though.
Sure.
It is trajecting that way, yes.
And
it,
but there's going to be people who are like, yeah, but he wasn't playing when they won the World Series, so I don't know if I could put him there. You know people have that conversation.
I know. All right, well, let's have a different conversation. NFL championship windows. It's a topic that's often discussed, often debated. Which windows are open, which are closed, which are closing. And more importantly for us, Abe Gordon, is the Falcons window open right now, or are there too many uncertainties around this football team to seriously say they are in their timeline to win an NFL championship? That's not to say it's this year. It's, hey, in the next 2 to 3 years, will the Falcons have a window to win an NFL championship? Last week, ESPN, or I think it was earlier this week, they ranked every single NFL team based on roster talent alone.
From the starting 22.
Yeah, and the Falcons were what, 26? 26. Yikes.
So that would tell you no. That would tell you no.
Falcons are 66-1, according to BetOnline, to win the Super Bowl this year.
So let me ask you a quick question based on those odds. Do you think the Dolphins have a window that's open right now?
I would put the Dolphins almost in the same category as the Atlanta Falcons.
Do you think the Patriots have a window that's open this year?
No.
Do you think the Cardinals have a window that's open this year?
No.
All right, so you're pretty much out on those three teams. For the most part, generally.
Yeah, the Cardinals are not going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
The
those
Dolphins
are the three
all depends
okay,
on Tua's health.
My point is, those are the three teams with the exact same odds.
Okay.
That's the group that the Falcons are in.
I don't think the Falcons, with all due respect, I do not think the Falcons' championship window is open this year. I think it's cracked and moving upward. It's not up top and moving downward.
So the question is, why is it not open this year? And look, the NFL is weird.
I think it's not open
teams
this
jump
year
out
for
every
the
year
reasons
unexpectedly.
Why that ESPN reporter ranked the Falcons 26 based on their starting 22 roster. Uncertainty at the quarterback position with Michael Penix Jr. and question marks on defense around your defensive back specifically, but can they find a pass rush?
And I think
that is why they ranked them 26th.
Because
when I heard that the rankings were coming out and there was a tease, I think I might have been listening to you. I was like, Falcons 18 to 20 range.
Right, right.
And then I heard 26. I go, I don't know about that.
Well, there's a couple things in play here. I think the unknowns work both against them in that discussion, but for them in is the window open this year.
Okay.
because I think if one of those guys, much less both of those guys, turn into a dude, I'm talking about pass rushers, I'm talking about
Walker and Jamie Pierce.
We just don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to err on the side. And by the way, I did a whole list for 31 other teams as to where I view their windows. I erred for the most part of if there's any combination of things that could happen this year to where I could envision them winning the Super Bowl. When I look at the Atlanta Falcons, is there any combination of things? And again, we're talking everything goes right,
right.
for any of these 32
yes.
teams. But when I look at the Atlanta Falcons and I say if this and this and that go right, Are they in discussions? I'm not saying it will.
Okay.
But if Kyle Pitts is a player,
you cannot start that topic with that statement.
Well, we're going to bring him up at some point.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's just say Kyle.
Wait a minute. I want to revisit
800
this.
Yards, 5 touchdowns.
For who?
Kyle Pitts. Again, Drew, we're trying to be.
Why are we doing this to ourselves?
You got
to
hear. I don't think it's the only factor. If one of those two pass rushers or both or other guys.
And I would say
Braylon Trice as well, Floyd as well.
I'm really interested to see how Braylon Trice looks
if
coming back.
If any of these guys combine to have 25, 30 sacks as a group. I'm not talking about individually. If they figure out how to stop the run defensively.
Can I ask you a question?
If Penix isn't
I think
making
in that
mistakes.
Same ESPN article, they listed Michael Penix Jr. as the X factor. Of
sure,
course, that,
of course.
That's obvious. Would it be crazy to say that Braylon Trice could be an X factor for the Atlanta Falcons? Do we know enough about him? Obviously, a third-round pick a year ago, a pass rusher.
I'll tell you why he's
got
not.
Injured.
I'll tell you why he's not. Anything you get from Braylon Trice is a bonus.
Yeah.
If you get nothing from him, I'm not sure how negatively
That's
impactful
fair.
It is. Whereas with Penix, if you get nothing for
right.
him, the
right.
negative impact there is huge. Trice, to me, is all positive because anything you
yeah.
get from him is a bonus. If you get nothing from him, you all and I like Braylon Trice. I hope that everything goes well with him. But like you already got nothing from him. So it's not a step backwards. You're not counting on him the way you're counting on Penix.
So
now, if you got nothing from Walker or Pierce, that's a different discussion.
In the NFC, you only have one team that has an open window that is closing, and that is the Los Angeles Rams. Is that mainly due to
I think
Matthew
the
Stafford's
quarterback's falling yeah. off after a year. This may be his last season. You tell me. I don't know.
I don't know. Would he go back
I don't know.
To L.A.? Will he retire?
I think he's done within 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is his last year or next year, but, I mean, as I view it now, the window's closed. Who knows who they can get after that? They're still going to have what should be a very young, very good defense. If Kyren Williams re-ups, they still have a very good, young receiving core.
Right.
If they can get the quarterback back in place with that head coach,
yes,
maybe it does open up more.
I would assume that's a package deal.
But I view it right now as a window that is closing that has 1 or 2 years left before it kind of falls around.
And you have two divisions in the NFC with 3 out of 4 teams that do not have a closing window. That would be the NFC East with the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, the Washington Commanders, who made the NFC Championship game last year. And I'm kind of surprised around your take on the Dallas Cowboys, but then NFC North as well. You have all 4 teams.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If I'm going to be open about if all things go well for the Falcons, they can win it this year, I have to be open about the rest of the
team. But do you honestly,
no, I don't believe the Cowboys can win a Super Bowl this year.
Do you honestly, in your heart, believe if everything goes well for the Atlanta Falcons, they could win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, because I think they could have one of the 5 best offenses in the NFL.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, I think they can have
fun. That would be exciting.
If you combine a revamped pass rush with one of the 5 best offenses, and again, I know we got questions about cornerback opposite AJ. Some people have questions about AJ. I think if you ramp up the pass rush, though, so many of those questions get taken care of. We hear it. I'm sure we'll hear it from Raheem today or tomorrow, whenever. The term complementary football, right? It's thrown around. Like, a lot of times, offense sets up defense sets up offense. How about the pass rush helping out the secondary? Like, I think so many questions get answered, not just for the Falcons, for any of these teams. So many questions get answered if you can get to the quarterback.
100%.
And so, these questions about who's your safety, these questions about who's cornerback too.
I think Billy Bowman's going to be able
sure,
to play. Sure,
yeah. He's in there. But I just think so many of them, the importance and significance gets lessened if you got two guys that can get after the pass rusher, dude, three guys. Do you see them?
Yes, I could not agree with you more.
But I think
I could not agree with you more in terms of the pass rush.
Best case scenario here, Pitts is involved in the – I don't need him to be the best tight end in the NFL. I don't need Drake London to be the number one wide receiver in the NFL, but he should be in the top 10. Darnell Mooney stays healthy. He goes over 1,000 yards. I think Ray-Ray McCloud stays healthy. He can go to 550, 600.
Okay.
And Pitts, I don't know, 650 yards and
four
touchdowns.
You're making a great point until you say that name.
Okay, but I'm already throwing out there that this is like as optimistic and positive and things going right. There's potential, and again, this also falls into the X-Factor Michael Penix, not looking like a rookie, not having those learning moments and growing pains and all that.
3-3, 4-2.
All you need him to be,
games,
by the way, is like between like 10th and 17th best quarterback in the NFL. Like if you get him to play like Baker Mayfield, you're in great shape with this offense.
Man, I want to see James Pierce Jr. get after the quarterback relentlessly off the edge. A bag full of pass rush tricks. Let's do it. Let us know what you think. Abe Gordon just said, if everything goes right for the Falcons this year, they could win the Super Bowl. Do you agree? Get on the phone lines, 404-726-0929. We'll take a couple of calls when we get back from the break, and we will also be bellying up to the bar. Plenty of news storylines to get you caught up on this gloomy-ish Wednesday, but we're having fun. Drew Butler, Abe Gordon, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back into the Steakhouse. Drew Butler and Abe Gordon. And guess what? Falcons training camp is coming. That's right. Starting Thursday, tomorrow, and continuing through August 13th, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game brings you exclusive on-site coverage of Falcons training camp with The Morning Shift, The Steakhouse, and Andy and Randy broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. And when practice wraps up, join Dukes and Bell at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. Coverage is brought to you by your North Georgia Honda dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. Live coverage of Falcons training camp starts tomorrow, Thursday, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Abe Gordon, you got the people fired up. You said if everything goes right for the Atlanta Falcons in 2025, they could win the Super Bowl. Get on the phone lines, 404-726-0929. Tell us if you agree or disagree. We got some callers on the line. We're starting with Meat in College Park. Meat, how are you, my man?
What's up, Abe? I agree vehemently. Listen, we were on the cusp of the playoffs with incompetent quarterback play 2 years straight. If Kirk Cousins doesn't hijack our season, we are going to the playoffs. If Michael Penix balls out, we're going to the NFC Championship.
Meat, you make a great point. And keep in mind, if they made the playoffs last year, they were going to have a home playoff.
Well, remember, you're toe-to-toe with the Commanders who went to the NFC title game, right? I mean, you're toe-to-toe
absolutely
on the road.
And what happened?
With Penix.
Jaden Daniels got hot, like Meat is saying, and they rode that hot hand all the way to the
NFC
championship.
But you're right there with that
team.
You were right there with that team.
Right there. Hey, if Penix balls out, the sky's the limit. Penix is the X factor. We went from being depleted at defense. Now we have depth at defense. So it's all on Raheem. Everything's on Raheem right now.
All right, Meat. You going to go up to Flowery Branch any day? You going to be at practice any day, Meat?
Nah, man. I'll be on the road, man. I got an expedited delivery company, man. I'm always driving.
All right, man. We appreciate you listening. Meat brings up a great point, though. It all starts and ends with Michael Penix, Jr. This
does,
is not rocket science.
And again, I'm not.
Thank you, Meat.
It all depends on what we get out of him. I was giving you the optimistic point of view.
Of course you are.
You got to remember,
you're prefacing it by saying everything has to go right.
Last year, you take out the Super Bowl champions in the Philadelphia Eagles. you were a called PI away from taking out the team they beat in the Super Bowl in the Chiefs the next week. Later in the year, you're toe-to-toe in overtime with a team that went to the NFC title game. Like, you're not that far off, and there were a lot of things you didn't have going for you.
I agree. Like, a non-existent pass rush.
Right. Certainly in those first two
Kirk Cousins' injury caused that four-game skid, which really derailed the season. There's no doubt about that. Let's go to Kevin, the limo driver, in his limo. Kevin, do you agree with Abe if everything goes right for the Falcons? And that's a big statement. It has to go right. Could the Falcons win the Super Bowl?
Well, I disagree on this basis. I think not everything has to go right. I think they can still have a good season. Basic football, good defense, great running game. Defense always travels. Yep. If this defense is ramped up and that running game stays the same, they just need Penix so he can grow organically, and they got a shot. To his point, he made a great case. Last year, we were right at it. But I don't think absolutely everything has to go great. I think those two things, if they're great, the running game and the defense, I think we if you get in the tournament, you got a chance.
That's how
you win a Super Bowl.
I like it, Kevin. I like it a lot. Football is not a difficult game.
Let me build
Football is not a difficult game. Run the football, have a stout defense. You're going to win more football games than you lose.
Let me build it out for you this way. Let's rewind and take the Pitts thing off the table. He does what he does. I don't know, 450 yards, two touchdowns, whatever. Right? That's an okay, whatever. Fine.
Yeah.
You have Bijan Robinson. Things could get ramped up. You have one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL with Drake London.
And now you got a quarterback.
You got an offensive coordinator working his way into his second season, not his first.
Yep.
You got the quarterback, blah, blah, blah. There's still a potential that this is a team that can get out ahead of teams in games.
I'm all for that.
Now
I would love the Falcons to be averaging 26, 27, 28 points
a game. So let's say you get there.
Going into Sunday saying, you know what? Even if the defense is a little shaky, we're going to outscore you.
Now you got teams having to throw on you. Now you got your guys pinning your ear backs, an opportunity to get after them and ramp up.
You're exactly right.
Now you take the fact that you might have some trouble running the ball, or stopping the run, pardon me, off the table.
Question:
it just steps
you.
The defense up again.
Based on three-game sample set, is Michael Penix Jr. a better thrower of the football than Jalen Hurts?
Than Jalen Hurts?
Super Bowl champion. Super Bowl MVP, correct?
Wasn't
he the MVP last year? Putting you on the spot. Forget that.
Yeah,
is he a better passer?
I think he's a better pure passer. I don't know.
Mike Russo,
I think Jalen Hurts makes fewer mistakes.
Mike Russo,
I think he's a better pure passer, though.
Mike Russo, listener on X, he chimes in. He said, I'm not aware of any rookie quarterbacks winning titles without a top
five defense. I'm not aware that we're starting a rookie quarterback.
I agree with you. We are not starting a rookie quarterback, so Mike, you need to edit that tweet. He said, we're not close to that yet. Penix is basically an unknown.
Agreed.
But we need to see what the defense is.
Agreed. But I also provided the caveat that a lot of things have to go well.
You're right. I like what Mr. Yo says, longtime listener.
Well,
Mr. Yo
says
the Falcons window starts today. We're going 15-2.
All right.
Great run game. Good wide receivers. A phenom at quarterback, he says. We finally have a young, fast defense. Our Super Bowl window starts now.
I
all
think
right,
15
Mr.
and
look, 15-2.
Yo listens all the
we'll
time.
We'll be partying down Northside Drive.
He's
baby.
Been yelling at me about Penix since well before the draft last year. So he's a Penix guy. I'm in favor of all of that. We're gonna keep it realistic. As much as I said, a lot of things need to go right. Like 15-2 is a little bit out there.
Let me just
a
say
little
one
bit
thing.
Out there.
I've played in all but two NFL stadiums. I was with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have a great tailgate scene in Pittsburgh. Incredible fans. I've been to Chicago many more times than I can even count. Awesome tailgate scene outside Soldier Field. When the Falcons are good, the tailgate scene outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I think, is pretty elite.
Well, doesn't this go to what I said at the start of the show?
What I'm saying is this. Falcons fans show up when the team is good.
That's what I said.
That's not a knock on them.
That's what
I
said at the start about the Braves fans were there. I said every fan base is going to be ramped up when the team is good.
Man,
I said
walking
at the start,
down Northside Drive
no
when the Falcons are good on those crisp fall Sundays in Atlanta.
Ride Marta.
Turn me up.
Take Marta at like 11:45. Like 11:45 on a Sunday down there.
Turn me up. That excites me. the prospects of leading the division with 4 weeks to go, and you got a nice little cushion, and the team is playing well. And to Abe's point, your offense is putting so many points on the board that your opponents are having to throw the ball more, which opens up the pass rush to get after the quarterback. That is an exciting brand of football. And to a lot of our listeners tweeting and calling in, we've got some exciting, fast young players.
It's to the point.
Are we getting ahead of ourselves?
So I had this discussion with Sandra a little bit yesterday. I was like, hey, because I'm going to be that guy at training camp. It's like, did you see him take that one-on-one rep? Like, who's going to stop him this year? Like, that's going to be me at training camp. So, yeah, we are. But I caveated.
Well,
I didn't just say all of this is going to happen. I caveated with if this happens. I'm not just sitting here as like, who's going to beat the Falcons this year? No one.
I agree.
There's a lot of things that have to go right, and not all of them are going to go right. I think we can openly admit that. But when I look at this team, we're going to use the term potential here.
Yeah.
There is potential that this team can get hot the way we've seen other teams get hot and ride it.
All right.
There's potential.
Look, I'm thirsty. We need to belly up to the bar. All right, big news yesterday, sad news. Ozzy Osbourne passed away at the age of 76. Of course, you know him as the lead singer of Black Sabbath, a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member, popularized in pop culture from the hit MTV show with his wife Sharon. What was the name of that? Life with the Osbournes?
Or the Osbournes or
the
something?
The Osbournes,
like that,
Jack and the daughter. And rest in peace, Ozzy Osbourne. I asked the question earlier. I was driving in. You hear Crazy Train, you think one thing, Chipper Jones. Ozzy Osbourne has a unique tie to the city of Atlanta.
Yeah, and I saw Chipper put out a thread yesterday on social media just talking about the decision to use that song and kind of the relationship with it. So, yeah, I mean, it's that was in and at Braves games 3 to 5 times per game for, I don't know, what was it, 12 years, 14 years, whatever the length of Tripper's career was. I mean, he got that song going pretty early in his career. So, yeah, I think it does hold a special spot for Braves fans.
Yeah, breaking news in the sports broadcasting NFL world. ESPN is reportedly nearing a deal to acquire the NFL Network and Red Zone. It says that the owners are expected to vote on this in the coming weeks. You might have noticed a paradigm shift. A lot of talent from NFL Network has been signing on to ESPN, most notably Peter Schrager of late, but that could certainly be a change with the NFL Network and Red Zone banners heading over to the Disney family of networks. Does that surprise you at all, Abe?
No, I think ESPN is looking for more ways to grow their digital platforms,
sure.
And Red Zone is a huge one.
Absolutely. And then last but not least, did anybody see the Stanley Cup when it made its tour of Atlanta the other day? Mike Huff, VP of Player Engagement for the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, he brought the Stanley Cup to Atlanta. He took it to the Delta Operations Control Center. He took it to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, Alpharetta City Hall, Dunwoody Country Club, Johnny's Hideaway, and Waffle House, among other places. Did you see it? Were you able to get a picture of it? Were you at Johnny's Hideaway when they walked in with Lord Stanley's cup? Let us know. 404-726-0929. We are rocking and rolling. Tons of great banter here on the Steakhouse. Follow us on X at Drew Butler, at Abe Gordon, at 92.9 The Game. We'll be back right after the break with some three strikes. Put a bow on this Wednesday episode of the Steakhouse. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. .10:40, this is the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler, Abe Gordon, taking you through the fastest 2 hours in radio on a Wednesday morning. Some spirited conversations have been had. We are fired up about football season. Falcons training camp begins tomorrow.
Wasn't today like the most pre-training camp in any city you could possibly get? Just optimism.
Yeah.
Like before anything goes wrong, before anyone has even laced up cleats and put on tape, it's just like, they could win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you one question that I think will be a conversation that a lot of national sports outlets will cover throughout Falcons training camp, and that is what is going to happen with Kirk Cousins. Because as it stands right now, Kirk Cousins is probably the best backup quarterback in the National Football League. And, you know, if we want to look at the other side of the coin and be pessimists, if Michael Penix were to get hurt, which he has gotten hurt in the past, and you had dealt Kirk Cousins away, or a team gets desperate and makes you an offer you cannot refuse, you will have backup quarterbacks Easton Stick.
Easton Stick season, baby.
And Emery Jones.
Yeah. You might bring someone else in over Easton Stick if you move on from Kirk at
some
point.
Okay, and I would say this. Somebody is going to have to get extremely desperate across the NFL to make an offer to the Atlanta Falcons for Kirk Cousins that would have them consummate that deal.
Was it with you that I did that? There was like 20 teams. I had that list of like 20 teams who, like, if they lost their starter, would make a serious consideration for Kirk.
Well, I think there's two things that have to happen in order for the Falcons to say, okay, we're going to do this deal. First and foremost, that team that is inquiring about Kirk Cousins is going to have to take the majority of his salary cap in 2025. Because then that would open up the Falcons to be able to make an acquisition to bring in a different quarterback.
What's
or maybe some
majority? Because some teams said they made a $10 million offer. The Falcons reportedly are asking 20 if they meet in the middle at 15.
I think he moves at 15.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's easy to say this, but if J.J. McCarthy for the Minnesota Vikings either is not performing well or has an injury that maybe puts him out for 6-8 weeks during training camp, the Minnesota Vikings, who have seemingly a lot of pieces put together to become a playoff team, they were almost one a year ago. Or did they get knocked out in the first wild card?
I think they got knocked out.
Would the Vikings...
Didn't they have that game against the Lions for the division or something?
Would they make an offer to the Atlanta Falcons to bring back Kirk Cousins?
They going to turn it over to Sam Howell?
I don't think they would do that.
Okay. Well,
I think Kirk
Would
Cousins...
Would you trade Kirk for Howell?
I think there are many, many scenarios over the past 3, 4, 5 seasons in which something happens to a team during training camp and they need to address it, especially at the quarterback position, and that does happen. Kirk Cousins becomes target number one to bring him in to say, okay, we have the pieces around him. We know what Kirk is capable of. Let's put an offer together towards the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I think you're just doing what you're doing and just hanging out, playing the waiting game. And if that opportunity arises, you take advantage of it. And if it doesn't arise, then you have the best backup quarterback in the NFL. Hopefully you don't need it. Hopefully he is devoted to this team and helps with Michael Penix's growth. And isn't it? I just don't – we talked about this ad nauseum multiple times. And then again, when the quarterback series came out, like I just don't think he's going to be a problem. And so I'm fine with it. We move forward. If there's an opportunity to move and you can get something for him, great. If not, then not.
I don't think there's any inkling whatsoever where Kirk Cousins would be an issue in the locker room if he was your backup through the entire 2025 season.
I don't think so.
I think he's put himself out there enough to know that he wants to be a good teammate. I think he's put it out there enough to he'll support Michael Penix Jr. And the backup quarterback's job is to, one, be supportive of the starting quarterback, but two, help with preparation, help break down defenses and tape throughout the week, help the coaches scheme up what he sees the upcoming opponent's defensive tendencies are. And obviously, Abe, Kirk Cousins is better positioned to do that than any other backup in the National Football League.
Yeah, I think you've got a little bit of a best of both worlds where you have a guy that can help and be a second coach in the quarterback room and all that. Yeah. And then you've also got a guy that potentially could be of heavy desire from other teams. And you just wait to see if that's the case or not.
Well, it's a Wednesday here in Atlanta. A bit gloomy, some misty rain falling down. What do we have on the docket today for Big Game of the Night?
Yeah, John Foy, Big Game of the Night, presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm Hour and a half from now, 90 minutes off from Justin Verlander, Spencer Strider, if this rain clears out at Truist and there are no delays. That's a 12:15 businessman special right there. And if you're more of a late-night crowd, the Atlanta Dream taking on the Phoenix Mercury 10 p.m. tonight as well.
Okay, what about
MLS All-Star Game?
MLS
All-Star Game. Anyone want to dive in against Liga MX All-Stars?
I think I might check that out.
Will you?
Yeah.
What channel do you think that's on?
Apple TV.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. My boy Taylor Twellman will be on the call.
All right. Riveting.
Riveting indeed. Three strikes. We got your questions right here. Get on the phone lines, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Here are your questions. We'll open up the phone lines in just a minute. Is the Falcons Super Bowl window open in 2025? Second question. You have the Stanley Cup. Where are you taking it? Where are you taking the Stanley Cup if you have it in your possession? And the third and final question on this edition of Three Strikes, who's going to win the college football national championship this year? An SEC team or a Big Ten team? That is the main talking point right now in the world of college football, SEC versus Big Ten. Of course, the Big Ten has won the last two national championships. So Three Strikes, get on the phone lines, 404-726-0929. Is the Falcons Super Bowl window open in 2025? You have the Stanley Cup. Where are you taking it? And who wins the national championship this year in college football, the SEC or the Big Ten? 404-726-0929.
I got Twitter pulled up here.
Okay.
And this is not going to slow down the hype train at all.
Oh, no.
Mark Raimondi, Atlanta Falcons reporter for ESPN, is talking with Chris Lindstrom. Lindstrom says the rookies this year, quote, blew my doors off, end quote, in terms of preparation and how they worked in OTAs.
And obviously,
that's not slowing down the hype train.
Defensive players.
Yeah, those guys. Yeah.
Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr., Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman. I think all those guys are going to be seeing the field very early. And of course, Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. will, but the defensive backs, Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman.
Well, I think you talked about it. I think Bowman's probably getting the nod there to start, and I think Xavier Watts is going to make his case as well. I think they both could be starters.
I just cannot say enough of how much I approve of the two moves that this Falcons front office made in the first round this year. Jalen Walker and then trading away next year's first-round pick to get back into the first round to take James Pierce Jr. You had to do it. You simply had to do it, and they did it, and I think it will produce in 2025.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, this is an unfair comment to make, but I'm going to make it anyways. Like, if it doesn't work out, Terry Fontenot wasn't going to be able to make that pick next year, right?
He might not be here next year.
No, that's my point.
Yeah.
He's not saving it for the next guy. He needed to make an impact to save his job. I think he did. That's the plan. And so that would be my mindset as GM is like, yeah, man, if things don't go well, I'm not relying just on Jalen Walker. We're going to double down here.
All right, before we get to three strikes, I got to bring up one thing. Did you see those hideous alternate jerseys that the New Orleans Saints put out yesterday? Supposedly
gold. Oh, the gold one?
But they're not gold. They're like beige. They look horrible. Horrible. I hope they wear them in the Superdome when the Falcons come to play. So the Falcons can send them back home with a big fat L.
Yeah, a lot's being made about these alternate jerseys or throwbacks. I saw the Steeler throwback.
Look,
I saw
single NFL team should have to wear throwbacks on Thanksgiving Day and Thanksgiving weekend.
Sure, okay.
That would be great. We need to make that happen. Let's get to three strikes. All right, we got Jared in Powder Springs. Jared. Is the Falcons Super Bowl window open in 2025?
Definitely. Without a question.
All right.
Without a question. Michael Penix at the helm. Jalen Walker on the edge. Hey, we there, baby.
I love it. Hey, you have the Stanley Cup in your possession. Where are you taking it?
I'm going to work the flex, man. We're going to work. We're clocking in with the Stanley Cup. Lunch with the Stanley Cup. The work job, man.
All right, taking it to work. And who wins the college football national championship this year? A team from the SEC or a team from the Big Ten?
I'm a dog fan. I'm going to say SEC. But I believe Bama pulls it out.
Bama, wow.
That's what I think. I don't know. I got an itch.
All right. Thanks so much, Jared. Hey, Mike in Decatur. Mike, is the Falcons Super Bowl window open in 2025?
Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. We got some optimism coming from Falcons fans. Hey, you've got the Stanley Cup. Where are you taking it, Mike?
Atlanta City Council. Let's get hockey back.
All right. I think it's on the way. We'll see. We'll see. And who wins the national championship this year in college football? A team from the SEC or a team from the Big Ten?
I'm Georgia on the way, bro.
Dogs winning it all again, an SEC team. Thanks so much, Mike. Coleman and Winder. Coleman, is the Falcons Super Bowl window open in 2025?
1,000,000%.
Woo!
Woo!
We are fired up. 1,000,000%. Coleman, you have the Stanley Cup in your possession. Where are you taking it?
I'm just taking it to the crib. Put it up.
Taking it to the crib. We need some more creative answers as far as the Stanley. You can take it anywhere. All right.
And anywhere, everywhere.
Who wins the Stanley? Excuse me. Who wins the college football national championship? SEC or Big Ten? The Dogs. All right. Go Dogs.
The Dogs.
Go Dogs. Thanks, Coleman. J-Mad in Stone Mountain. J-Mad, is the Falcons Super Bowl window open in 2025?
Yes.
That is a 4-for-4 there, guys. Everybody's fired up about the Falcons.
I don't trust the coaching.
All right, don't trust the coaching, but the window is open. You have the Stanley Cup. Where are you taking it? Please give us a creative answer.
I am going to host a Cohiba cigar event at Paradise Island in Coast and Stonecrest Mountain.
All right, I'll be there. I like that. I am in for that one. Who wins the college football national championship this year, a team from the SEC or a team from the Big Ten?
There's nothing like an SEC team. Let's get it. All go
right. Dogs. All right. Thanks so much. Where would you take the Stanley Cup, Abe?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I mean, obviously, like, I have my regular bar. I might pop by there. I think the Stanley Cup deserves a nice day out at the Battery. Nice afternoon. Maybe either there or Piedmont Park.
I would take it, and probably because I have to head there right after this to go to a meeting, I'd take it to Athens. I'd go to Athens, pop into a few of my jaunts there, maybe bring it into the football facility at Buttsmere Heritage Hall. I would take it to Athens is where I'd take it. What about you, Bo?
So I love the Battery idea. I would take it straight to Fat Tuesday in the Battery, fill it up with a big fat daiquiri.
Yes, sir.
But so when we won a softball tournament about a month or so ago, I took our big-ass trophy to Peachtree Corners and did several spots in Peachtree Corners.
Where at? That's right by me.
Oh, all over, bro. I was in the Forum and
the town center,
bro. Yeah,
look
I took
at
the
you.
Trophy. Yeah, man. I didn't post it anywhere except for our little group chat with me and all the parents.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
But that's exactly what I would probably do, take it on a tour of Peachtree Corners.
Yeah, man, you got to flex, right? You got to bring it out, let people see it, take pictures, fill it up with a cocktail or three or four or ten. Do your thing. Abe, this was fun, man.
Sure was. We got Falcons fans ready. We're winning the title.
Winning the Super Bowl,
get
baby.
Them ring sizes, baby.
Woo-hoo! Falcons training camp starts tomorrow, 92.9 The Game. We'll be on site in Flowery Branch, Morning Shift Steakhouse, and Andy and Randy. Then, of course, Dukes and Bell at Mall of Georgia Hooters all throughout training camp. Appreciate you guys tuning in to us on this beautiful Wednesday. Bo Johnson, thank you so much, Abe. You the man. We'll talk to you next week. I'll talk to you next week. Have a great rest of the week, everybody.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.